Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Hello, my name is Natalia Shpilova-Said, and I'm a host of New Books in East European Studies, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. I'm delighted to speak today with Stanislav Kulchitsky and Bohdan Klit about Stanislav Kulchitsky's book that was recently translated into English, The Famine of 1932-1933 in Ukraine, An Anatomy of the Holodomor, which was published by the Canadian Institute of Ukrainian Studies Press in 2018. Stanislav Kulchitsky is one of the most prolific historians in Ukraine who pioneered the study of the Holodomor. He studied the Holodomor for more than 30 years, and today he is a leading scholarly authority on the subject. During his academic career, he also held key administrative posts in the Institute of Ukrainian History, National Academy of Sciences of Ukraine. He's also noted for his studies on communism in Ukraine, and he also published a three-volume work, The Red Challenge, A History of Communism in Ukraine from Its Birth to Its Demise. But today we are discussing the famine of 1932-1933 in Ukraine, An Anatomy of the Holodomor. And by the way, just recently, a couple of Stanislav Kulchitsky's books were added to the list of 10 best books on Ukrainian history, which were published since 1991. And my other guest is Bohdan Klit. He worked at the Canadian Institute of Ukrainian Studies at the University of Alberta as the assistant to the director and then assistant director until December 2016. He is the co-editor and co-compiler with Alexander Motyl of the source book, The Holodomor Reader, a source book on the famine of 1932-1933 in Ukraine, which was published in 2012. He's also the author of scholarly articles on a number of diverse topics, including Ukrainian historiography, contemporary Ukrainian popular music, and politics. Most recently, he helped prepare for publication the translation of a study by Stanislav Kulchitsky, the book that we are discussing today. And he's currently preparing for publication with colleagues collections of essays as well as memoirs, testimonies, and related materials on the Holodomor, collectivization, and Stalin-era repressions. Also, Bohdan Klit will be helping us today with the translation from Ukrainian into English. I'm very delighted to welcome my guests today, and as I already mentioned, today's interview will be bilingual Ukrainian-English. And I would like to say thank you to Marshall Poe, New Books Network's editor-in-chief, for making this format possible. Hello, Stanislav and Bohdan, and thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
So, Stanislav, your book presents a very meticulous research, and it really shows how the Holodomor developed and what influences and impacts it had on the subsequent history of Ukraine. But at the beginning of your research, you explain how you got interested in this topic. And I would say that your story is quite illuminating because you started working on the Holodomor during the Soviet regime, when the Holodomor was a silenced topic and a suppressed topic as well. On the one hand, your story shows how a scholar can be pre-programmed or programmed and shaped by ideologies. On the other hand, your story also shows how a scholar can get rid of those restrictions which are imposed by the oppressive regime. So for this reason, I would like you to speak a little bit on how your research of the Holodomor start.
Я належу до третього покоління радянських людей, вихованців радянської школи, яке сприймало спотворений світ комунізму як нормальний. в Академії наук почав працювати в 1960 році, спочатку в Інституті економіки, а з 72-го року в Інституті історії України.
Okay, I belong to the third generation of Soviet citizens or people who basically accepted the distorted view of history and of society that was dominant in the communist system. And I began working in 1960 as a scholar in the Institute of the Economy. And in 1972, I went from there to the Institute of History.
Я спеціалізувався на дослідженні історії робітничого класу, став доктором наук, став завідувачем відділом історії України у міжвоєнному періоді від закінчення громадянської війни і до початку Другої світової війни.
I began as a specialist of the history of the working class, and I became a end of industrialization, and I earned my doctorate degree in this field, and moved to the Institute of Ukrainian History, and worked there from that time.
Я знав, як і всі дорослі громадяни України, проголод початку 30-х років, адже загинули мільйони людей.
Okay. I knew, like most Soviet people, about the 1930s famine, when millions of people died.
В бібліотеці Інституту економіки були статистичні довідники для службового користування, і я зміг приблизно вирахувати втрати від голоду до 3 мільйонів осіб. Однак писати про голод і навіть згадувати про нього на людях було заборонено. В Карному кодексі існувала стаття про антирадянську пропаганду, і, як правило, ті, хто вижив, боялися розповідати про голод своїм дітям, бо дитина могла щось сказати про чужих людей, а суспільство було насичене сотнями тисяч доносчиків, навербованих органами державної безпеки.
Окей. I had access in my scholarly work to statistical handbooks where it was possible to determine how many people actually died in the famine. And I came to the conclusion that after studying these books, that it was about 3 million. And this was, but one could not say anything about this because the topic of the famine was a taboo. Not only that, but one could possibly end up being prosecuted for saying anything about the famine because one could be charged with anti-Soviet propaganda and charged under the criminal code. So people fear to speak about the famine, even to their own children. Society was therefore afraid to bring up this topic.
У 1983 році виповнилося 50 років Голодомору. Українська діаспора в Сполучених Штатах і Канаді зробила все можливе, щоб світ дізнався про замовчуваний голод. вже існували два потужні наукові центри – Канадський інститут українознавчих студій в Едмонтоні і Український дослідницький інститут при Гарвардському університеті.
In 1983, there was the 50th anniversary of the famine occurred, and the Ukrainian emigre community, the diaspora in the United States and Canada, did whatever they could at that time to make the information about the famine known. The Ukrainian diaspora in the United States and Canada did all they could to make the information about the famine known at the time. And at this particular time, there were two centers of scholarly institutes, one in Edmonton, the Canadian Institute of Ukrainian Studies, and the other at Harvard University, the Harvard Ukrainian Research Institute.
У 1983 році в університеті Квебека в Монреалі була проведена перша в світі наукова конференція, в якій брали участь такі відомі вчені, як Богдан Кравченко, Джеймс Мейс, Роман Сербін. В Торонто Канадський дослідницький центр по голоду в Україні був утворений, який випустив фільм «Жнива від чаю».
Okay. In 1983, the first scholarly conference on the Holodomor took place at the University of Quebec. And at this conference, there were people, scholars who took place, such as Bohdan Kravchenko, Roman Serbin and James Mace. In Toronto, a center for the study of the Holodomor was established, this center was involved in the production of the first documentary film about the famine.
Після довгої боротьби Конгрес Сполучених Штатів погодився створити тимчасову парламентську комісію з розслідування українського голоду. В січні 86-го року керівники групи з шести українознавців Джеймс, на чолі Джеймсом Мейсом, і Мейс залучив все, що можна було знайти в архівах Заходу, передусім Великої Британії, Італії, Сполучених Штатів, а також орієнтувався на розповіді емігрантів, які пережили голод і опинилися потім в Сполучених Штатах Америки. Вони переконали Роберта Конквіста, який прославився книгою «Великий терор», взятися за книгу про великий голод, замовчуваний голод в Радянському Союзі. Джеймс Мейс підбирав фактичний матеріал для цієї книги.
Okay. In the U.S. Congress, there in January of 1986, a commission was formed to study the famine. The commission was headed by James Mace, and the six people who were the members of the committee there were six people who were members of this committee. James Mace was able, work in with archival materials that were available from Great Britain, Italy, and the U.S., and was able to gather material from eyewitness accounts of people who had lived through the famine as well. And so this was one of the first serious work that was done on the famine. A bit later, they were able to, Robert Conquest, a scholar who was very well known for his work on the Great Terror, was brought into continuing the to write a study on the famine, and James Mace did most of the research for him at that time.
Тим часом в Радянському Союзі готувалися відзначити 70-річчя встановлення радянської влади. У відділі науки Центрального комітету Компартії України восени 86-го року створили дослідницьку групу, завданням якої було викриття вигадок українських буржуазних націоналістів про неіснуючий голод 33-го року. За посадою в цю групу потрапив і я.
Okay. At the same time, around the same time, the 70th anniversary of the foundation of the Soviet Union was taking place. And the Central Committee of the Communist Party of Ukraine formed a special investigative committee, which also I was drawn into this. And this committee was, one of the tasks of this committee was to show that the famine was nothing more than a figment of bourgeois nationalists, Ukrainian bourgeois nationalists, that is, in the West.
Well, I would like to ask the same question you, Bohdan, as well. So you mentioned that you are also working right now on the Holodomor materials, and you also worked with Alexander Motyl on another Holodomor reader. How did your interest in this subject develop?
Well, my interest developed because it was a topic that was brought up on occasion because of the various commemorations which were taking place by survivors of the famine. If one had any ties to the Ukrainian community, one knew personally people who had lived through the famine. So that was one thing. But I was also a graduate student in the 1980s, and I was a witness to some of the first scholarly work that was being done on the famine. I knew personally Bohdan Kravchenko, Roman Serbin. Mm-hmm. I didn't know James Mace, but I met him. I knew of the work that was taking place, and at that time I wasn't studying the famine seriously, but I was aware of what was taking place, mm-hmm. obviously, and that it was important, and that new discoveries were taking place. And obviously, when Ukraine became independent, then this became even more prominent.
Mm-hmm. Stanislava, thank you so much for your story. And I keep thinking how paradoxical the regimes can be, because on the one hand, your research started with some already set up task to prove that the Holodomor was just some fiction and that Holodomor was made up by the Ukrainian nationalists. But the findings that you discovered actually pointed to a completely different direction, and they revealed the atrocities that were caused and brought by the Soviet regime. Another thing that I found paradoxical is that the rediscovery and the research of the Holodomor started as a collaboration between a couple of countries. Well, back then it was the Soviet Union, of course, and you mentioned the US and Italy and Great Britain. So it was kind of some international project and international endeavor. And you mentioned that you had some access to materials that were kept abroad outside the Soviet Union. And you also had a chance to speak with the survivors. But what other archival materials were available when you started the project?
Mm-hmm. Механізм сталінського голодомору складався з кількох елементів. Перше – це конфіскація всіх запасів продовольства в січні 33-го року. Друге – це заборона голодуючим виїхати в пошуках їжі за межі України і Кубані. Третє – це інформаційна блокада. Ця блокада тривала не тільки за життя Сталіна, а й кілька десятиліть після його смерті, аж до грудня 87-го року. У 1956 році наступники Сталіна звинуватили його у великому терорі, про що розповів Роберт Конквест, але не змогли пояснити причини великого голоду, і сталінське табу залишалося непорушеним навіть у виступі Горбачова в Кремлі у листопаді 87-го року, присвяченому 70-річчю більшовицького перевороту. Згадував тільки успіхи колективізації сільського господарства і жодним словом не сказав про голод 33-го року в Радянському Союзі.
The way that the Holodomor was took place, or the mechanism that the state used to bring about the famine consisted of basically three elements. There was the removal or the confiscation of all food from peasant households, which took place in January of 1933. There was the peasants from Ukraine who were not able to leave Ukraine or the Kuban area, that is, the borders were blocked, so they couldn't go to other parts of the country to look for food. They were prevented from doing so. And then the last element was an informational blockade, or a taboo that was placed on information or discussion on the Holodomor. And this lasted even past Stalin's death in the 1950s for several decades, up until actually December of 1987, when it became possible to talk about the Holodomor legally in the Soviet Union. Even in 1956, when the Communist Party condemned Stalin for the Great Terror, the communist officials were not able to bring themselves to discuss the famine at that time. Even in November 1987, when Mikhail Gorbachev gave a speech on the occasion of the anniversary of the founding of the Soviet Union, the 70th anniversary, he did not mention anything about the famine, but instead spoke about the successes of collectivization.
Зрозуміло, що внаслідок інформаційної блокади про голод нічого не писали в радянських газетах. Більше навіть його не існувало у листуванні державних установ. Але голод був присутній у листуванні під грифом «особая папка» партійних установ. Треба сказати, що Сталін не мав наміру знищити голодом всіх селян. Четвертим елементом в механізмі голодомору була продовольча, фуражна і насіннєва допомога голодуючій Україні, яка почалася буквально через кілька тижнів після конфіскації всього їстивного. Треба було організувати посівну кампанію 33-го року, і партійні органи розподіляли надані державою ресурси.
Okay. One must say that as far as sources are concerned, one could not find anything about the famine that was printed in Soviet newspapers, nor could one find information on this in the correspondence even of the party officials. One, however, was able to look at this or find material on the famine in special files that were given the name of personal files, osobi papke. One could say that after studying this, one could learn that Stalin did not want to destroy all peasants with the famine. For one of the elements, or the fourth element in the mechanism of the famine, was the fact that there was actually aid that was released to the countryside several weeks after the confiscation of the all food items took place. And this aid consisted of food, it consisted of seed, and it consisted of fodder for to feed animals as well, farm animals. This is a complicated story.
Документи з особої папки в архівному фонді Центрального комітету Компартії України стали мені доступними тільки коли я увійшов в дослідницьку групу з метою викрити вигадки про голод, поширювані українськими буржуазними націоналістами. І ці документи справили на мене шокуюче враження.
Okay. The documents that of these personal files that were held by the Central Committee of the Ukrainian Communist Party became known to me, or I gained access to them only after I was brought into this special research group that was formed under the auspices of the Central Committee of the Communist Party to basically discredit the so-called Ukrainian bourgeois nationalists. And after I began to study these documents, I began to understand what took place during the famine and how it took place.
Цікаво, що згадуючи про Голодомор на початковому етапі дослідження цієї проблеми через кілька років, Джеймс Мейс в статті «Як Україні дозволили згадати про Голодомор», яка була опублікована в американському журналі, він присвятив мені в цій статті цілий розділ, в якому зробив висновок, що я з радянського професора став звичайним професором, не індоктринованим, так би мовити. Але мені тоді виповнилося вже 49 років.
After I began to study the famine, and after a few years of this, the first publications began to appear under my pen, James Mace, who noticed or was following this work, wrote an article that was published. It was called How Ukraine Was Permitted to Remember, in which he noted that when I had started to study this the famine, that I was basically a Soviet historian, and that over the course of these few years, I was evolving and changing into a regular historian. That is, a Soviet historian being someone who would be giving the Communist Party's point of view.
Who were other members on the committee that was organized by the party administrative officials?
Наша дослідницька група, створена Центральним комітетом Компартії України, складалася з науковців, які працювали в академічних інститутах і спеціалізувалися на критиці буржуазних фальсифікаторів історії.
The research group in which became involved, or in which I was a member, consisted of scholars who were basically specialists in studying the activities of the Ukrainian emigres of the so-called bourgeois nationalists.
Ці люди знали іноземні мови і були, як правило, молодими. Так що покоління іноземних мов у нас не знало.
These scholars were people who knew foreign languages, and they were generally younger. Most of the other scholars in the institutes and the academies did not know the Western languages, but these young scholars did.
Мабуть, найстаршим, 49 років все-таки, був я, який потрапив в групу за посади. Щоправда, очільник нашої групи був старший за мене. Це академік Арнольд Шліпаков.
I was probably the oldest member of this committee, at that time I was 49 years old, and I became part of this group because of my position at the institute. But the head of this committee was an older individual, academician Шлепаков.
Я не раз задумувався над таким питанням. Чому взагалі була створена ця група? Невже ті, хто працювали в Центральному комітеті на високих посадах, вважали, що можна заперечити, загальмувати інформацію про голод, спираючись на наукові дані? Виявляється, думали, що можна, бо вони були вихованцями радянської школи.
I often thought about the why this committee was even brought into existence by the Central Committee. Why would they even try to keep the information on the famine from the light of day? Did they really think that they could prevent this information from coming out? It turns out that they probably thought that they could get away with this.
Mm-hmm. Старший за мене на кілька років Михайло Горбачов ніколи не розпочав би політичні реформи, якби знав, що втратить свою посаду разом з своєю країною. Натомість значно старший від нього Олександр Яковлєв, який багато років прожив на Заході, був послом в Канаді тривалий час, 10 років. І він передбачав розпад Радянського Союзу і визнав це у передмові до «Чорної книги комунізму», російське видання якої з'явилося в 1999 році.
Mikhail Gorbachev, who is a few years older than I am, began his reforms in the Soviet Union, he did not understand or he couldn't foresee that the Soviet Union, that when he started these reforms, that they would lead to the collapse of the Soviet Union. However, his colleague and who was also a high-ranking member of the Communist Party, Alexander Yakovlev, who lived in the West for some time and was the ambassador of the Soviet Union to Canada even, was able to foresee that the Soviet Union would collapse. And even wrote about this in the preface or introduction to the Russian edition of the Black Book of Communism that appeared in 1999.
Богдан, I have a question for you as well. So what was your reaction to the Soviet's endeavors to suppress the information about the Holodomor? Did you pay attention to these instances when you started working on this topic?
Yes, there was a in the late 1980s, there was a book published shortly after Robert Conquist's study of the famine was published, which is called The Harvest of Sorrow. There was a book published by the Communist Party Press in Canada by Progress Books called Fraud, Famine, and Fascism. And obviously, this was the attempt to discredit Ukrainian diaspora efforts to bring the famine to light, and was also an attempt to discredit the Ukrainian academic institutions, and it was an attempt to downplay or deny the famine. So this made an impact on all of us at that particular time. One has to remember that this book appeared not only shortly after Conquest's book appeared, but during the period of Perestroika and the changes that were taking place in the Soviet Union and in Eastern Europe. So all of this was very stimulating, very interesting, that all of this was taking place in a very short period of time. All of these political changes, as well as information on the famine, was becoming known, as well as this attempt to turn back or to distort the information on the famine.
Mm-hmm. Stanislav, you already mentioned to some extent that your first findings already pointed to a different direction that deviated from the task that was set up by the Communist Party to prove that the Holodomor didn't actually take place, that it was made up by the Ukrainian bourgeoisie and Ukrainian bourgeois nationalists. And I'm sure your first reports did receive some response from the Communist Party. So I'm wondering how the party responded to the first conclusions on the Holodomor.
Робота комісії Центрального комітету була паралізована в зародку появою книги Роберта Конквіста «Жнива скорботи». Ця книга вийшла майже одночасно англійською, російською і українською мовами на Заході. Комісія Шліпакова жодного разу не зібралася. З власної ініціативи я написав у відділ науки Центрального комітету Компартії доповідну записку, в якій доводив необхідність визнати факт голоду.
The commission that was brought to existence was one can say was almost paralyzed immediately after it came into existence through the publication of Robert Conquest's book, The Harvest of the Sorrow. So the Shlepakov Commission never really met afterwards. But what did take place was that following the appearances of Conquest's book and my initial research in with the documents, I wrote a memorandum of a report, one could say, which basically concluded that it was necessary to recognize the famine that it had taken place.
В цій доповідній записці я підкреслював, що партія робила все можливе, щоб допомогти голодуючим. Обґрунтовувати цю заяву, звичайно, неправдиву, було нескладно, тому що четвертою ланкою в організації Голодомору була допомога голодуючим з метою врятувати посівну кампанію весни 33-го року. Я знав вже, що ця допомога була орієнтована на рятування посівної кампанії, але треба було домогтися, щоб факт голоду був визнаний, тобто не лякати членів Центрального комітету.
In the report that I wrote to the party, I emphasized that the Communist Party did all it could to save people's lives from famine. Although I knew that this was not true, that this was actually that the aid that was issued was done not to save people's lives, but to salvage the sowing campaign of 1933, of the spring of 1933. I knew this, but I had to phrase the report in this way in order to get the party authorities to recognize the fact that the famine did indeed take place.
Моя доповідна записка блукала по відділах Центрального комітету близько півроку, аж поки мені дозволили опублікувати її, але тільки після того, така була умова, що як Щербицький визнає факт голоду в ювілейній промові 25 грудня 87-го року. Це був ювілей встановлення радянської влади в Україні. Буквально через кілька тижнів після промови Горбачова, де Горбачов абсолютно нічого не сказав про голод.
So, the report which I wrote went, one could say, wandered around from desk to desk or office to office and didn't go anywhere for some time. But it was finally, permission was granted for me to publish the report, but only after it was decided that one could do this, only after this information on the famine was made public for the first time. And this was done in a speech by Volodymyr Shcherbetsky, who headed Ukraine's Communist Party at that time, on the 25th of December, 1987, on the anniversary of the founding of Soviet power in Ukraine. This was, and Shcherbetsky's speech took place a few weeks or several weeks after Mikhail Gorbachev's speech, in which he did not mention the famine at all.
В січні 88-го року моя записка була опублікована в двох газетах: «Вісті з України» і «News from Ukraine», які орієнтувалися на українців за кордоном, на українську діаспору, але все-таки розповсюджувалися і в Україні. А в березні 88-го року була вона повністю опублікована в українському історичному журналі. Це була перша публікація в радянській пресі про Голодомор, і Джеймс Мейс встиг її врахувати, я додам, з нещадною критикою в офіційній доповіді Комісії Конгресу Сполучених Штатів 22 квітня 88-го року.
The report I was able to get it published for the first time in January of 1988. And it was published in two newspapers, a Ukrainian edition called «Вісті з України» and an English edition called «News from Ukraine». And this newspaper was published for the Ukrainians who lived outside of the Soviet Union in the Ukrainian diaspora. Copies of the newspaper also were available in Ukraine itself. This was the first publication on the famine that was done. And also my article appeared in a scholarly journal called Ukrainsky Historichny Zhurnal, or the Ukrainian Historical Journal, in March of 1988. And this was the first scholarly publication on the Holodomor. And the publication was noticed by James Mace, who was headed up the investigative commission head that was founded by the U.S. Congress, and he mercilessly criticized my article that had appeared in the report to the Congress on the 22nd of April of
1988. Коли про голод стало можливим говорити, то в українській пресі піднялася ціла буря. Товариство знання, яке поширювало різноманітні матеріали серед народу, замовило мені брошуру під назвою «33-й трагедія голоду», в якій повинна була б висвітлюватися жахлива картина штучного голоду. Звичайно, я вже знав про цей голод набагато більше, ніж писав у своїй доповідній записці в Центральний комітет. Крім того, мені дозволили текст цієї брошури опублікувати в газеті і «Літературна Україна», яка тоді користувалася надзвичайно широким впливом серед української інтелігенції, надрукувала її в 5 числах підряд в січні 89-го року. А в червні 89-го року з'явилася сама брошура великим накладом 62 тисячі примірників. Треба сказати, що та серія, в якій друкувалася мій текст цієї брошури, називалася так: «Теорія і практика КПРС. Історія». Це був парадокс, але такий був перехідний період.
Appearance of the first publication triggered many more publications on the famine. And there was a society that existed at the time called Tovaristvo Znanya, which one can translate possibly as the Knowledge Society or Enlightenment Society, which asked me to write a longer article on the famine. And I set about to do this. It was titled 1933, the Tragedy of the Famine. However, before it appeared as a brochure, it was published in a newspaper in Ukraine called Literaturna Ukraina, or Literary Ukraine, in 5 parts in January of 1988. And then it appeared, as I mentioned, in a brochure form in a very, very large a print run of 62,000 copies. And this was an article that made quite a sensation in Ukraine.
Да, співробітники Інституту історії партії при ЦК Компартії України підготували збірник документів про голод в Україні, в якому я теж брав участь. Цей збірник розглядався в Політбюро Центрального комітету 26 січня 90-го року, вже при новому першому секретарі Володимирі Івашко. Після бурхливого засідання Політбюро збірник був рекомендований до друку. Ну, я був присутній на цьому засіданні і пам'ятаю, що, переконуючи членів Політбюро, Івашко сказав, він народився в 33-му році, Івашко сказав, що його батьки ледь-ледь його врятували від голодної смерті.
Co-workers of the Institute of the History of the Communist Party of Ukraine was preparing under their auspices, a collection of documents was prepared on the famine. And I took part in the preparation of this collection of documents. Before its publication, it had to be approved by the party authorities. And a meeting was held that took place on the 26th of January of 1990, called by the Central Committee. And at this meeting, it was chaired by the new secretary of the Communist Party, Volodymyr Ivashko. It was a very lively meeting. I remember it. It was there were a lot of discussions. Volodymyr Ivashko was the new first secretary of the Communist Party, was born in 1933, and he recalled that his parents told him that they were barely able, that he was lucky to have survived the famine. They were barely able to save his life. So he was in favor of its publication, and being first secretary, he was able to get this publication approved. One has to bear in mind that in 1990, the Communist Party was already legally not a monopoly political force any longer. And after the attempted coup d'etat in 1991, it was already swept away from power.
Bogdan, did you notice any kind of response to the new publications on the Holodomor, for example, in the end of the 90s? I mean Canada and probably the States. As Stanislav told us, his publications received a lot of response from the scholars and as well from the party officials. But I'm wondering about Canadian and American audience.
Well, certainly the publication that Dr. Kluczycki has mentioned, the collection of documents, it certainly came to the attention of people who were scholars in the in the academic community, who were experts on the Soviet Union. I think one has to bear in mind the context in which these first publications appeared. So people were following the students and scholars were following these publications, but there was so much going on politically at the time that the new information on the famine was basically being drowned out by the political events which were taking place in Eastern Europe, the fall of the Berlin Wall, the first demonstrations in the Soviet Union, in Lithuania and the Baltic countries. The demonstrations that were beginning to take place in Ukraine as well, the Ruch movement, all of these events were taking place. So broader audience outside of the specialists really weren't paying that much attention to the first publications on the famine. Outside of course, Robert Conquist's book and outside of specialists and people who studied the Soviet Union closely, these people, of course, were aware of these new publications. But the broader academic community, I think it was, we were captivated by the political events that were taking place most of all.
That's very true. That's very true. Stanislav, how did the findings on the Holodomor shape your subsequent research and probably your understanding of the party and its role in the life of the individuals and the society?
Я відповім спочатку на те, на другу половину вашого запитання. Справа в тім, що я був членом партії з 60-го року по 90-й рік. Це, власне кажучи, 30 років. І мої дослідження в галузі Голодомору, починаючи з самого початку, справили не тільки шок, а призвели до повного, повної відмови від попереднього світогляду, від в якому я був вихований буквально з школи, в університеті, ну, як всі радянські люди. Це, звичайно, ну, це зрозуміло, власне. І потім уже все своє життя в науці я присвятив дослідженню комунізму в Україні. І маю десятки публікацій, в тому числі і книжок, про те, як народжувався комунізм, чому він переміг в Україні і який вплив він здійснює на сучасність нашу, на пострадянську сучасність, а вплив цей дуже великий досі.
I'd like to begin by saying I was a member of the Communist Party from 1960 to 1990. This was about 30 years. My research in the famine not only was a shock as far as what I discovered, not only shocked me personally, but caused me to reject my entire worldview, my previous understanding of the world society, my Soviet outlook, caused me to reject this. And afterward, I decided to dedicate the rest of my scholarly work on studying the phenomenon of communism in Ukraine. I have tens of publications on this broad topic, how communism was born in Ukraine, why it was, why it triumphed in Ukraine, ranging all the way to how communism and its ideology has, and the communist experience in Ukraine still has influenced the post-Soviet Ukraine, or Ukraine after the fall of the Soviet Union and the fall of communism.
Як мої відкриття, перші відкриття, вплинули на дальше дослідження? Ну, тема Голодомору є провідною в моїй науковій роботі і досі. За 35 років опубліковано 350 праць на цю тему. І серед них варто відзначити праці, здійснювані командою.
Okay, and in my work on communism, the first and the most important topic, or the primary topic here, is the topic of the famine. And I've written from that beginning to this day about, or have been involved in, about 350 different publications on the famine. And one has to count among these also publications which were written by teams or collectively.
В 93-му році на великій конференції з участю першого президента України Кравчука, Леоніда Кравчука, я запропонував перевидати звіт комісії Джеймса Мейса Конгресу Сполучених Штатів і тритомних спогадів свідків Голодомору, які він опублікував уже в 1990 році. Завдяки директору видавництва Києво-Могилянський Академії Вірі Соловйові ця грандіозна праця, цей чотиритомник, була перевидана, але не в 93-му році, А в 2008 році, коли відзначалися 75-та річниця Голодомору. Треба сказати, що великий внесок, суто матеріальний, зроблено було посольством Сполучених Штатів в цю роботу.
At a conference in 1993 dedicated to the famine, in which the first president of Ukraine, Леонід Кравчук, participated, I made a proposal to republish the report that was prepared by Mace to the U.S. Congress, as well as the three volumes of testimonies of Holodomor survivors that he had published in 1990. And this proposal was taken up by the Kyiv Mohyla Academy Press, which was headed by Vera Solovyov, and but it took quite some time to do this, and it only came out in 2008 on the 75th anniversary of the Holodomor, and it was published also with the support, financial support of the United States Embassy in Kyiv at that time.
Треба згадати також, що в Гарварді створена за нашою участю атлас Голодомору. Фіксація місця перебування кожного свідка, вона позначена на цій карті. І мова йде про те, що нема письмового документу про вилучення всієї їжі у селян в зимовий період, в січні 33-го року. Нема і не може бути. І тому ті люди, наші опоненти, які заперечують факт геноциду українського народу, українського селянства, вони кажуть, покажіть документ. Цього документу існувати не може. Але фіксація місця перебування кожного свідка на карті показує, що на всій території України відбувалося на основі усних вказівок вилучення всієї їжі, в результаті чого місцевість, колосальна територія, була повністю позбавлена всякого продовольства. І це було причиною смерті мільйонів людей. І оця карта Гарвардського університету є документальним свідченням про те, що був геноцид.
Okay. One has to also mention here a very important project, which is the so-called Atlas of the Holodomor, which was created under the auspices of the Harvard Ukrainian Research Institute. And this under the auspices of this project, all of the witnesses who gave testimony, the place where they lived, where they came from, is indicated on the map. When it comes to determining whether the Holodomor could be considered a genocide, there is no document about the carrying out of total food confiscations. No document like this exists and cannot exist because the directive was given to party officials who were confiscating the food verbally So opponents of the Holodomor as genocide thesis ask, well, where is the document that you can point to that says that all food should be confiscated? And obviously such a document doesn't exist, but we, because of this map project, because the people who gave testimonies spoke about the confiscation of food, we can point to this map where all of these territories are and all of these villages are indicated. We can point to this map as evidence that yes, indeed, all of these people who came from all of these different localities in Ukraine all speak about the same thing, about the confiscation of food, and one can see it visually on this map.
Ну, треба згадати, мабуть, і те, що здійснюється триваюча роками робота над визначенням кількості жертв Голодомору. Перша публікація про кількість жертв була опублікована ще в 90-му році в українському історичному журналі. Це була моя публікація з Максудовим, який працював і працює, правда, зараз вже професор емеріт в Гарварді. Ми удвох підготували цю публікацію, хоча одержали різні цифри, оскільки по-різному інтерпретували ті чи інші джерела. І я, звичайно, історик, і без Максудова, який є демографом за своєю освітою, у мене не вийшло нічого. Але так, спираючись на його розрахунки, мені вдалося визначити оцю цифру 3,5 мільйони в масштабах всієї України. А тепер в останні роки зайнялися цією справою фахівці з Інституту демографії і соціальних досліджень нашого академічного інституту разом з Олегом Воловиною з Університету Північної Кароліни. І були опубліковані немало в західній пресі, і у нас в Україні було опубліковано немало таких розрахунків, які, власне кажучи, підтверджують цю цифру, яку ми одержали разом з Максудовим. Там виходить 3,9 мільйона – це прямі жертви.
Another question that has come up in the study of the famine is the number, the question about the number of victims, how many people died during the famine. And I'd like to point out to an article that I wrote together with Maksudov, who is a demographer from Harvard University. We were collaborating together. I'm a historian and he's a demographer. With his help, I was able to calculate the number of famine victims, or estimate the number of famine victims. And back in 1990, we already came to the conclusion that about 3.5 million people died from starvation. More recently, there has been a group of scholars associated with the Institute of Demography and the Academy of Sciences here in Ukraine, and a professor from the United States, Oleg Volovina from North Carolina, is joined this group, and they have come up with various studies and have published articles in which they've concluded that about 3.9 million people have died. So their findings have basically confirmed what was done earlier by myself and Maksudov. That is, the figures are not that very much different from one another.
Грандіозну роботу, опубліковану в 2008 році, Національна книга пам'яті жертв Голодомору в Україні. Підсумковий том по всій Україні готував Інститут історії України, власне кажучи, той відділ, в якому я працюю, і це теж має велике значення на багато-багато років, бо там зосереджена колосальна інформація про Голодомор в усіх областях тодішньої України.
Another project that should be mentioned that took place in 2008, a grandiose project, was the publication of the National Book of Memory about the famine. This consists of volumes of testimonies and prepared by the Institute of History, in which I work, in fact, by the division which I headed. It contains information on the famine, a huge amount of information on the famine, in all of these volumes from each and every oblast of Ukraine, or each and every province of Ukraine has a separate volume, and there is testimony from all of these provinces contained in these volumes.
Треба згадати також, мабуть, і бібліографічний показчик публікацій по Голодомору. До мене звернулися в кінці 90-х років бібліографи Одеської наукової національної бібліотеки з пропозицією очолити цю роботу, бути відповідальним редактором. І з тих часів уже два десятиліття опубліковано три випуски бібліографічного показчика, в якому знаходиться близько 18 тисяч публікацій по українському Голодомору в усіх країнах світу. Зараз готується четвертий випуск.
One should also mention another important project, which is a bibliography or a bibliographical index of the publications about the Holodomor. And this was undertaken in Odessa by the National Library there, the branch of National Library there. And over the past 20 years, three editions of this bibliography have appeared or have been published. And this bibliography contains 18,000 publications or information on 18,000 publications on the Holodomor, the titles of these publications from all over the world. And I'd like to add that a fourth edition is now being prepared, which will be the most up-to-date one.
Ну, і я хотів би вже, завершуючи цю розмову, висловити глибоку вдячність Канадському інституту українознавчих студій, в якому я не раз бував за останні 30 років. І головне Богдану Кліду за те, що він допоміг мені підготувати для західного читача книгу англійською мовою, в якій проблема Голодомору викладена і детально, і досить переконливо. Я сподіваюся, що спільними зусиллями і канадських, і американських, і українських вчених, ми зможемо переконати світ в тому, що Голодомор був актом геноциду радянського режиму, сталінського режиму. Це важливо із під кутом зору нашої науки, історичної науки, і для того, щоб ми усвідомлювали все те, що трапилося з нами за роки радянської влади.
I'd like to conclude my remarks by bringing attention to the work of the Canadian Institute of Ukrainian Studies, where I which I visited on more than one occasion over the last 30 years. And I'd like to thank the Institute and Dr. Kolchitsky also thanked me for my work, helping to prepare his study of the Holodomor, the translation into English of his study, which is concise and convincing work on the famine in Ukraine, which was written for a Western audience. And together with U.S. colleagues and Canadian colleagues and Ukrainian colleagues, Dr. Kolchitsky has said that we need to bring the attention of what took place in Ukraine so that people have a better understanding of what the Soviet regime did, and also to use the information that we produce together and to convince the other scholars and the broader communities that the Soviet regime, the Stalinist regime, did in fact commit genocide in Ukraine, and that this is important, that this understanding, this comprehension of what occurred took place, that this becomes more widely known and understood in the West.
Budan, I have one more question to you. On the one hand, I keep thinking about the remark that Stanislav made about the fact that there is no official written document that would confirm the statement that it was some sort of an order to take food from the Ukrainian peasants and those documents that would officially confirm that this famine was man-made. On the other hand, I do remember my grandmother's stories about the famine, and not only her stories, but stories that belong to her family members who were actually arrested for just going to the fields and picking up some grain or some corn, and they suffered. Of course, officially, it wasn't documented that they were imprisoned on the ground of their hunger, for example. But in a very intricate way, I would say, this personal memory persevered, and this personal memory eventually shaped the public memory that was reconstructed, or that is being reconstructed even today on official levels. So my question is about those political endeavors which are undertaken today to bring the Holodomor back to this public consciousness and to this public memory. And are these political endeavors to remember the Holodomor sufficient in your opinion? Or what else should be done on both public official levels in order to somehow not just reveal the facts of the famine, but also to heal those traumas that were caused by the famine itself and by those programs that that were constructed to silence the Holodomor in Ukraine?
Well, there are certainly things that are being done on the political level to formally recognize the Holodomor as genocide. And this is important because the declarations and the various resolutions and statements made by government officials give legitimacy to the question of whether the famine was a genocide or not. So if a government takes a position one way or the other, then it has an influence on their particular citizens. So this is important. But more important, I think, is the education of students and the writing of scholarly literature to convince more of our colleagues and to convince students who are studying history, who are studying the Soviet Union, who are studying Ukraine, to convince them that, yes, that what happened was so terrible, that it was so traumatic to Ukraine, it was so damaging, it was so vicious, it was so evil, that yes, it is a genocide, in fact, because people's food was being taken literally off of their table, off of their kitchen table. So although there is no document that says go to the peasant homes, go to every peasant home and take away all of their food, because there is a lot of indirect evidence, mm-hmm. and there are all of these testimonies, and there is all of these other legal documents that exist that show that the Soviet regime, in fact, did take food away from the people who actually produced the food. And this is can't be denied. The task before us is though to, I think, complete this work of making people aware of how terrible and how traumatic and how difficult and how important this event was, not only in the history of Ukraine, not only in the history of the Soviet Union, but in world history of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that young scholars probably are our hope for bringing the Holodomor to the public as well. So what would you recommend to young scholars, taking into consideration your work on the Holodomor, those who decide to go into this field and those who decide to research the Holodomor, not only on the Ukrainian level, so to speak, but on the global level?
Well, the Holodomor is a very important topic for understanding, I think, what can happen, mm-hmm. if a regime becomes all powerful, if a government becomes centralizes so much power in its hands that it can literally create an alternative reality and can force people to turn on one another, force them to take away food from someone's household. So it contains a lot of valuable lessons, I think, to understand politics, mm-hmm. and to understand power, and to understand why power needs to be controlled, why power needs to be limited, so that you don't have a person like Stalin able to do these terrible things, do these evil things, and to literally have the power to destroy so many people and to destroy a country as much as was done under Stalin's dictatorship. So the Holodomor contains a lot of valuable lessons for understanding, I think, the relationship of power, society, democracy, human rights, all of these values that should underpin human society worldwide, and contains lessons why it's important to this date to study.
Mm-hmm. And to remember.
And to remember. I mean, we understand what happened, but, you know, the lessons that we learned from the Holodomor are very important to understanding how society and how politics should function, and what not to do, what not to allow.
Stanislav, I would like to ask you the same question. Пане Станіславе, яку б рекомендацію ви дали молодим дослідникам, які вирішують займатися темою Голодомору? На, можливо, українському, в українському контексті, а також у контексті більш широкому, в глобальному контексті. Ваша рекомендація молодим дослідникам?
Ну, моя рекомендація, я думаю, так, треба встановлювати зв'язки з українознавчими центрами за кордоном, треба володівати мовами, тому що старше покоління не може розмовляти англійською мовою, а ця мова – це мова міжнародного спілкування. І я думаю, що якби наше старше покоління володіло справді англійською мовою, то міжнародне визнання Голодомору геноцидом просувалося б набагато швидше. Ще є багато таких білих плям в дослідженні специфіки відносин між владою і суспільством в 30-х роках не все ще досліджено, і для молоді відкриваються дуже великі перспективи навіть тепер, через 30 років після того, як все це вже відбулося, як почалося дослідження Голодомору. Наприклад, я можу такий приклад привести, була така система, фірма, власне кажучи, Торсин, торговля з іностранцями, Торсин, яка в Україні не досліджена. Але зараз, буквально в цьому році, виходить велика монографія на цю тему. В Росії давно вже це опубліковано, але в Україні досі не було. Ясна річ, що це дуже важливо.
It's important for scholars to work together and important for scholars in Ukraine in particular to know other languages. such as English, which is the world, which is a language in which the world, the scholarly world communicates. There are topics that are certainly still need to be looked at more closely in Ukraine that haven't been studied well. And one topic in particular that I'd like to bring attention to is the topic of the Turk scene, or the topic of the special stores or special shops that were created in the 1930s, in which people were able to sell their valuables in order to survive the famine. I'd like to say that there is a work that's being published this year in Ukraine on the Turk scene, or these special stores that were set up in the 1930s. The topic of the general topic of society and and power, or society and the state, is still a topic that could also be studied more closely in Ukraine.
Well, thank you so much, Stanislav Kulchitsky and Bohdan Klit. Thank you so much for your research, and thank you, Bohdan, for translating from Ukrainian into English. I really appreciate it. And I just wanted to say that I myself grew up reading Stanislav Kulchitsky's textbooks and books. I'm very happy that our interview today took place. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Today I spoke with Stanislav Kulchitsky and Bohdan Klit about Stanislav Kulchitsky's book that was recently translated into English, The Famine of 1932-1933 in Ukraine, An Anatomy of the Holodomor, which was published by the Canadian Institute of Ukrainian Studies Press in 2018. Thank you for listening to New Books in East European Studies, a podcast channel on the New Books Network.